And I pray that you would open our hearts to receive your word and open your word to our hearts, that you would mix your word up with faith in our hearts and that our lives would produce fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I went back to school as an adult student, I chose to take subjects that I wanted to do and that I thought I might also have a chance of getting better grades in. So unlike doing chemistry and biology and all that sort of stuff, which I really struggled with, I did things like classical studies and English, and I did art history. And art history is really cool. In art history, you get to look at lots of beautiful pictures and paintings, or pictures of paintings and pictures of sculptures, I suppose, and which is really neat. I love art. The tricky thing is, though, you've got to read about art, and you've got to read about boring stuff like triptychs or the linear perspective in a painting, or even something like egg tempera, not to be confused with egg tempura or something like that. I think they're quite different, those two things. So you read about it, and when you start reading about art, you realize that there's things like the Renaissance or the Italian Renaissance. And when you look at the paintings from that period, you see that there's lots of paintings of things like angels and ladies in the paintings. And they're often called the Annunciation. And I've got an example here. This is The Annunciation by Leonardo da Vinci. Anybody heard of Leonardo da Vinci? Okay, probably most of you have heard of Leonardo DiCaprio, but this guy is way more important, Leonardo da Vinci. In fact, I don't know if it's still on, but if you would like to see, this guy not only did paintings, he did sculptures, and he also did, he made machines, and out at MoTat, they've got an exhibition of all of the machines. Somebody's made up a whole lot of replicas of different machines that he invented, like things you wind handles and it would lift things up and down. They unplugged me, have they? Yeah. So it happens, eh? It's like, time to unplug this guy. Should I just shout? Oh no, still got some amplification. All right. Keep going? Good. Brilliant. Okay. So Leonardo da Vinci, he painted this one here called the Annunciation. And what is happening in this picture? What do you see, kids? What's going on? Two people. Can you describe the people to me? A poor person and a rich person. What do you see, Xavier? A girl, what is she doing? Selling something. Yep. Shopkeeper. A shopkeeper and somebody. Yeah. What about you, Luca? A man proposing to a woman. Yeah. What about you, Eugene?
I see in the clouds in the white
thing. Yep. Wow. In the clouds. You see a lady in a dress in the clouds. Man, you've got great imagination. Yeah. What about you? Yeah. Pardon? And Lady Mary? And who's it? Gabriel and Mary. Oh, man. You've been reading your Bible. Yeah. Right. No. Oh, Ben had his hand up. Yes. What was your one, Ben? A person trying to steal something. Yeah, okay, last one. Angel and a virgin. All right. So we've said Gabriel and Mary and an angel and a virgin. And so the angel is called Gabriel. I think the wings give it away. All right. They got wings. See, he's got wings. And then the lady is Mary. You notice she's got like a halo. That looks like a plate on her head, all right, gold plate. That's called a halo to show you that she's very She's a special person, that she's holy. And then there's some symbolic things there you'll see. There's like there's shells which speak about new life and growth. And there's that thing in the middle might be an egg which symbolizes new life and fertility and stuff like that. But yes, lots of trees. And it's all in perspective. So that's by Leonardo da Vinci. So what Leonardo da Vinci was trying to do there, and by the way, most of the paintings from this period were biblical scenes because painters wanted money so they could buy food, and the people who paid the most money back then were churches. And thus we have some of the most beautiful depictions of biblical scenes. And so what Da Vinci was attempting to paint here for you and I, for our pleasure, I believe is Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 38, where the angel Gabriel appears to the Virgin Mary, this girl called Mary, and tells her that she is going to have a child. Now they say a picture is worth a thousand words, don't they? You ever heard that saying, a picture is worth a thousand words? But there are some words, of course, that this picture doesn't tell us. And these are the words, I believe, that we have in this passage here, and I want us just to look at a bit. So the story is pretty straightforward in some ways, but in other ways it's pretty unusual. So I think if you were to read this in the Papakura Courier, you'd find it quite an unusual story, because it's kind of about an alien being, it's about a virgin birth, and it's about God as a human being. It's not really your typical average story. If you read something like this in the paper, you would be quite surprised to read it. So Gabriel visits a girl called Mary from Nazareth, and she's engaged to a guy called Joseph. And of course, angels visiting people isn't your sort of run-of-the-mill. So I was surprised at and curious about the thing about the comment that maybe somebody's trying to steal something. You see, when angels appeared to somebody, if an angel appeared to you and I, it usually meant that your life was about to end, basically. If you see an angel, it's like the Lord is coming for you. And that's what people believe. So when angels appeared to someone, you would say, whoa, what's going on here? I'm in trouble. What have I done? Not now, Lord. I've still got things to do. Or am I really that sick? And so Mary would have been afraid, and we're told that she was afraid because the angel had to reassure her. Gabriel says to her, not to be afraid, don't be afraid. And instead he says to her, you are highly favored. In fact, God has singled you out for some special favor. He tells her that she's going to conceive and have a baby, and he tells her the name of the baby. It's going to be called Jesus, or Yeshua in Aramaic. And not only that, he's going to be the son of the Most High God. He's going to reign over God's people as the son of David forever. And of course, Mary, up to this point, has been listening politely, and then she stops and says, oh, just hang on a second. Just one little problem. She says, but how is that possible? How is that possible? I'm a virgin. I'm not going to have any babies, you know? It doesn't work like that. And then, again, Gabriel reassures her. He's not fazed by that. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born is going to be called the Son of God. And he says, as proof that this is going to happen, he tells her that her older cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant already. And when I say older cousin, Elizabeth was someone who was barren throughout her life. She couldn't have children, and now she's beyond the age of childbearing. And she's going to have a child called John, and this is going to happen because God's word always comes true. And then what is Mary's response? Mary says, this is really telling, she says, as she responds to him, she says, I am, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. See, Mary at that point expressed total surrender, total acceptance, a total and complete willingness to participate in God's plan. She has total faith, complete faith in what God's plans involve. And she says, I'm willing to participate, I'm willing to be involved, I'm willing to do whatever you command, and I want to be involved in something that's history shifting and that will command the events of cosmic history. And I think this is kind of what I want us to reflect on today. As we hear the angel's words to Mary, and we're kind of sitting there and we look at that painting and we go, you know, it's beautiful. Here's the angel making the announcement to Mary. As we hear that, what is our response? What is our response? I know the angel is not coming to us today and saying, you know, you're going to have a child and so on. But what is our response as we hear that message? How do we react, and what do we say back to the angel when he announces his world-changing plan? And I want to look at a couple of statements that come up here. And so I've just picked up on four of the statements that the angel says. And the first one is, I think, is really kind of obvious, but it's great, and I think it's just a great thing to hear. He says in verse 28, when the angel appears to Mary, he says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. I want to pick up on the Lord is with you first of all. I think that this is one of the first things that Christmas time reminds us about, doesn't it? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord has come to you. You know, when Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, what did he say? He said he's going to be what? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. And so this is something that I think we need to pick up and hear and embrace to ourselves. The Lord is with you. The angel tells Mary, you know, obviously he's talking kind of on a different level to Mary, but he's reassuring her, isn't he? And comforting her. The Lord is with you. He's saying that, you know, God hasn't abandoned us. God is with us. You go back a few thousand years before Mary, an angel appeared to a different person. This time it was a guy called Gideon. Remember Gideon? Some of you would have heard the story of Gideon. He was the guy with the lots of lamps and clay pots and smashed them and all that. The angel appeared to him and said, God has chosen you to liberate your people from the Midianites. Remember that story? And Gideon said, how am I supposed to do that? How can I do that? And the angel said to him, don't be afraid, because God is with you. God is with you. God is going to help you. God is going to give you strength. And so I think that for us at Christmas time, it's a wonderful reminder that God has not forgotten you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever it is that is in front of you, and maybe you're a bit afraid of it, maybe you're a bit uncertain, maybe you don't know what's and how you're going to find the strength to keep going or face those things that are ahead of you. Here is a Christmas promise direct from God to you. The Lord is with you. The Lord will help you, whatever the challenges are, whatever the battles are, whatever the hard calls are that you will have to make, whatever you and your kids are going through, or you and your spouse are going through, or whatever you're going through at work, the Lord is with you. And he also says, the second thing is that I want to pick up, and I think it's something we want to notice, is that he tells her that she is highly favored. He says in verse 28, the angel said to her, greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled. But the angel said to him, verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. Twice he tells her that she is highly favored, or she has found favor with God. And I think at Christmas time, that is something we want to hear, don't we? God's favor is with us. You know, because I think sometimes people think, and Christians, we can get this in our heads, is that, you know what? You're all a bunch of sinners. God hates you, and he wants to throw you all in hell, right? And that's what sometimes people take out of Christianity. And even as Christians, we can start to believe that God hates you, God wants to destroy you. Now, before you think I've gone all wishy-washy and denying sin and judgment and things like that, you know, the Bible makes it clear that people who choose to live their lives in sin and rebellion against God, yes, they will be judged, but that is the reason why Jesus came into the world. That is why we celebrate Christmas. That is what Christmas is all about, that God's favor is toward us. That God, he doesn't abandon us, but he shows favor to us, just like he shows favor to Mary and gives her that privileged position of bearing the God child. So to you and I today at Christmas time, it's a reminder that if God simply hated everybody, he would have just abandoned us, but he hasn't. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it tells us Christmas is a reminder that God's favor is toward you and I, that God doesn't want people dying in their sins, that God doesn't want people perishing because they've turned their backs on him, and instead his heart's desire is that you and I come to him and enter into a relationship with him. That's why Jesus told that story of the prodigal son, didn't he? Remember, that was the son who said to his father, "Dad, give me mine inheritance. I don't really care about you. I don't care about the family. I'm out of here." And he goes off and he wastes all of the money, spends it all, ends up starving and says, "Well, what am I going to do? Maybe I'll go back to Dad and I'll say, 'Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Can I become one of your servants?'" And as he approaches the house, his father sees him coming. He stands up and he comes outside and he runs to meet him and embraces him and throws a party for him. That is the heart of God that Jesus is revealing, and that is what Christmas is all about, that God's favor is upon those he loves, and God's desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other thing, the third thing is this, is that this son of Mary, Jesus, he's going to be your eternal king. This is what Christmas is all about. Mary's son, Jesus, is your eternal king. This picture that we looked at before didn't have a baby, but, you know, I found the cheesiest clip art I could find to put up there on the slide of a baby in a manger. And so often that's kind of where we leave Christmas, don't we? We go, Christmas equals little baby lying in some hay. You just think of how itchy and scratchy that would be and how awkward that would be. And if you forgot about the baby and the cows came into the stable and all that sort of stuff and you think about it. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's about Jesus as the Son of God, as our eternal King. The angel says, you notice the words he uses. He says in verse 31, "You will be with child, you will give birth to a son, you are to give him the name Jesus," that means God saves or the Lord saves. "He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever and his kingdom will never end." Wow, that's amazing. You know, Mary would have been finding it hard enough as it was to cope with the angel talking to her, let alone being told that she's going to have a child who is going to rule over God's people. You see, in the heart of every faithful Jewish person was a longing that God would send his Messiah to deliver his people from their oppressors and to establish his kingdom, to get rid of all of the blasphemers and get rid of all of those who were defiling the Holy Land and to rule and reign over God's people. Daniel and Micah prophesied about that, and so everybody was longing for that. And so now the angel comes and says, "Mary, this is the child that you're going to have." In fact, you might be interested to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, because when he talks about the house of David or the throne of David, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God appeared to David himself and made some promises to him. And in verse 9, I have been with you forever, wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great. That's verse 32, isn't it? I will make your name great. In verse 13, he says, your descendant, he's going to build a house for my name and will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's verse 32. And then in verse 14, it says, I will be his father and he shall be my son. And when he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men and with the floggings inflicted by men. He says, I'm going to be his father. He's going to be my son. And then in verse 16, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. So those were the promises that God made directly to King David. And now the angel comes to Mary and says, that's what's going to happen. That's what is going to be happening in the life of your child. He's going to be the king who rules and reigns. Well, I don't know about you, but I need a king to rule and reign in my life. We all need someone to rule and reign. When I was, I can't remember how, I was trying to think about how old I was, whether I was like 10 or 12, but there was a guy that in the church I grew up in who was getting his pilot's license, you know, for an aeroplane, and flying around these little single-engine planes. And he would say, if you got $7, I'll take you for a ride, because he had to get as many hours as he could, obviously. And so we'd go, oh, yes, Saturday morning, we'd turn up at the airport, $7, and jump in a plane. And I remember once I was sitting in the front, and we're flying around, just cruising around the city, and go over the house and go, oh, can you see your parents, and flap the wings of the plane and all that sort of thing. And then he goes, oh, you can have a turn now if you want. Because I'm sitting, I go, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, take the controls. And it's like, I'm sitting there in this plane holding the controls, but really knowing that I'm not really flying this plane, and I have no idea what to do, and that, you know, if he was to just fall out the window right now, I'd be totally stuffed. The plane would crash. I'd be doomed. And just totally feeling out of control. And sometimes that's kind of what it's like in our lives, isn't it? You know, we realize that we need a pilot. We need someone to take control. We need someone to guide the ship or to fly the plane for us, because we don't know how to do it ourselves. And that is what King Jesus has come for. King Jesus comes and says, give me the controls. I will fly the plane. Give me the steering wheel of your life, or the joystick of your life, or whatever, or the remote, or whatever you use to direct your life and guide your life. Give it to me and I will guide it. Give it to me, I will captain it, because I am your king. He wants you to hand control over to him, and he does a mighty fine job. The final thing is this, is that Mary's, this miracle child, the baby, the angel tells her, he will be God's son. He says in verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You know, when Mary asks that awkward question about how it's going to be or how it's going to happen, Gabriel's answer confirms that that Jesus will be a miracle child. He'll be without a human father. And Jesus' birth is the result of a miraculous intervention of God the Father and of the Holy Spirit in Mary's body to conceive this child, which means that this child is none other than God himself. That is what is meant by the term Son of God. So don't be fooled by the idea of a baby. Don't be fooled by the idea that his name was Jesus. Don't be fooled by the idea that he was a man and he walked on the earth and was crucified and lived and died like those around him. Don't think that somehow he is less than Abel. The angel is confirming absolutely here to Mary and to you and I at Christmas that this Jesus, he is God himself. He is God's own son. It means that God himself, if you will, put it this way, has invaded planet Earth to come and rescue us from our sins. And God has sent his son into the world. And that is why it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, that's what I believe the angel Gabriel is saying to Mary, and through Mary is saying to you and I today. I guess the question now is sort of back to you, isn't it? Is what will you say in response? Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. What are you going to say to the Christmas angel? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for Christmas time. We want to thank you for the announcement of the angel to Mary, and therefore through Mary to us as she was prepared and equipped to bear the Son of God himself. We pray, Lord God, that you would just draw our hearts out to yourself at Christmas time, that we would be like Mary and we would be able to respond to you and say, Lord, may it be to us. May it be to us as you say. Lord, if you want to come and rule and reign in our lives, Lord, come and rule and reign. If you want to come and deliver us and rescue us from our sins, Lord, come and rescue us from our sins. Lord, if you want to come and bestow your favor on us, Lord, bless us with your favor. And if you want to come and be with us and to guide us and to dwell with us, Lord, come and be with us. We pray, Lord God, that your will would be done in our hearts and lives and in the lives and hearts of our families and friends and those we love. We pray all this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.